Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't get it. I'm flustered. It's like we're talking two different languages. My God.
Now I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Jeff Lutz.
Are you okay? You might need to go with Duda to the doctor later.
In an insane society, the sane man must appear insane.
In Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
True, I gotta give him a point there, although it was wrong. He's doing all right. I'll let him leak out for a little while.
Micho Sally! Oh, so!
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel the G's!
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz. We're doing the three-man booth again.
Were we supposed to have pie?
Pie?
Yeah, Jason Duda with us.
Isn't that why we came?
Let me intro the show.
I don't care about all that, but go ahead, whatever.
Max Power Producing Engineering, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Apparently, Nick from Chicago can't make it today.
What's up with that?
We're here under false pretenses.
Is he really not coming?
He's really not coming.
Nick from Chicago? Oh boy, oh boy. What do you got going on?
Well, maybe he's got something going on, Jeff.
He doesn't have anything going on.
People have stuff going on sometimes. Sometimes stuff pops up. It's just the way it works.
I have a lot going on today.
Like what?
Of course you do.
My wife, suddenly her eyes are bad. Had to take her to the eye doctor. Had to bring my laptop over here to Tony this morning. Get over to the eye doctor on Ridge Road. Meet a guy about a sprinkler system at League 42.
Oh, boy.
It never ends.
Oh. It's crazy, isn't it?
Tell him.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like people don't have anything to do.
No. Well, how's your wife doing?
Well, I hope well. We got to see what's going on.
I almost forgot we were over here today until my friend reminded me. I was going to go to your house for sure.
Who's your friend?
David Michael Hahn. We had lunch today.
Do you have any other friends?
Doesn't seem like it. But he fills a lot of emotional voids for me, so it's all good.
Emotional voice.
Yeah, we're those kind of friends.
Okay.
I mean, you got to have a friend or two like that, Duda.
Well, Duda doesn't have emotional voids.
No, he doesn't seem to. He was in a little bit early today meeting with our program director.
I was.
He was apparently. Not. They were talking in the hallway.
They had some high-level something
some
going on.
Some serious stuff, and it's just going to stay between us. That's how I operate.
I'll ask Tony later.
Yeah, he's not going to tell you.
I hope things go well for you.
Well, I don't know if they're going to. Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Boy, the Olympics are winding down, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I hate it. We don't get this for another 2 years, and we don't get the summer again for four.
I probably wasted way too much time watching the Cardinals rather than the Olympics, but I've watched a decent amount of the Olympics. I won't say I've watched as much as I wanted to, but the Cardinals, why am I watching the Cardinals?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I've been watching the Olympics. It only happens once every 4 years.
Well, and your country doesn't do anything.
Oh, we're the fastest team in the world.
28
fastest
medals.
Team in the world.
Has anybody
28
medals.
Won the 4x100? We are considered the fastest team in the world. Noah Lyles won the 100.
We got disqualified.
Doesn't matter. You didn't win.
You know we would have.
No, you wouldn't have.
You got fewer medals than the Netherlands, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, as long as we stay within 10 times of what you guys get, we did good. You have 10 times the population that we do. That's how I look at it. So do you have 10 times more medals than we do? Obviously not, because you're not saying anything.
There's a more pressing...
Can I just say this about Canada?
You can say whatever you
want. It's a weak country.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Where do you get that from, I wonder? Now I know where Jeff gets it from every
where
once
I
in a
get
while.
What from?
Yeah, it makes all makes sense. It's I don't all coming insult, into fruition.
I don't insult entire countries.
Because the Olympics are on.
Have you heard how I've been talking about some of the ladies in the 15,000 meters?
Yes.
I love some of these countries.
15,000.
It's 10.
10,000, whatever.
Well, his eyes are going elsewhere. That's all right.
The kid's doing Max just fine. Max and I were watching before you guys got here the heptathlon. And the women running the 800 meters, one of the events required in the heptathlon. And I contend that of all the events in the Olympics, the 800 meters is the hardest. Because you have to run it full out. Especially in the normal 800, not the heptathlon. But these girls...
It's not easy.
These girls were dying after that.
Absolutely. Well, how about this? This is their last event, the 10,000 meter. In
no,
the heptathlon. You go
That's
through...
the last track event?
No, it's for the heptathlon, I believe.
Oh, this is still the heptathlon?
Yeah.
No, this is a 10,000.
Or decathlon or whatever.
It says no, women's 10,000 meter
10,
final.
This is 10,000 final.
Oh, this is just the 10,000?
And I think the heptathletes run the 5,000.
They run. Is that what they do
I
the last one?
I think so. But who am I to correct a Canadian?
Yeah, no.
I mean, well, we'd be better off if we okay. corrected more Canadians.
Probably. But you're not gonna, and it's okay.
Quick question. Has anyone ever been no-hit both ends of a doubleheader?
Nobody cares about the Guardians.
I'm just asking.
You're a terrible team now.
Well, we'll see.
And they're going to talk about... Get me here.
Okay.
They're going to talk about this team folding. Because if I feel it in my bones.
Why are we talking about them folding and they have the same record as the Orioles? Why is that fair? Tell me,
the Orioles aren't playing great either.
But no one's talking about them folding.
No, because they have enough to hold on at least. They'll get to the playoffs.
The Guardians have a better record than the Dodgers. No one's talking about the Dodgers.
Because they're
folding.
Not playing terribly right now. When you get to August and you start showing your weakness.
Bad managing, isn't it? They didn't pace themselves. They didn't figure out how to get through the grind of a 162-game season.
Looks like their pitching's falling apart.
No, their pitching is going to be fine.
He can't take it.
Their pitching will be fine.
They just gave up another bomb, just so you know.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
3-0.
3-0 Twins.
Jeffers just hit another bomb.
Good God.
Santana hit a bomb two innings before
that. Yeah, I know. Shut up.
They're pitching you. That's all you were talking about earlier is how good their pitching was. Their pitching
well,
is not
Cantillo.
There.
Cantillo's not going
to
be there.
You got to accept reality. I'm not going to get on this show every day and try to soften the blow for you.
I don't need it. I don't need that. This is Cantillo's last start. We've seen Carrasco's last start. I told you what the rotation is moving forward, whether that's an excellent rotation, a good rotation, a bad rotation. It's at least a major league rotation. So let's see how that performs, and we'll move forward from there.
Well, good luck. I'm willing to call my team what it is. Very average. I don't believe the Cardinals have a snowball's chance to get to the postseason. In fact, I think they'll struggle mightily over the next 3 weeks because their schedule is really difficult. They go to Kansas City tonight. They play
them. They'll be getting blasted.
They'll get beaten by the Royals. They're not as good as the Royals. Jason, are you listening to me talk about my team?
I am, and you're I appreciate that.
I hope you do appreciate it because why be defensive about your team? You got to call it like it is.
I would hope you could. I do.
And I've never understood that about Jeff.
About what?
The ups and downs and the defensiveness. And
you need to calm down about my team. You want to hear an interesting stat that I uncovered
no.
today?
No, I do.
Bobby Witt is hitting 196 against fastballs on the road and 379 against fastballs at Kauffman Stadium. Please explain that.
Can't explain it. But he also did. He was on the road. His last road trip, he went 14 for 38. So that's hitting what 350. That's not bad.
Okay, but can you explain 196 against fastballs?
Can you explain? So now you can break down. Baseball has so many different stats to break down every single one. You find one out of 3,000 stats that they have, and we pick on that. It's ridiculous.
I've never been more ashamed of you
right
now.
Why is exit velocity at home is 101 and 96 on the road?
Your team is struggling. So now the Royals must be cheating.
Well, they must, because you just said no explanation for that.
There are
no logical
stats.
Explanations except for
what's the
something
beauty of
fishy
baseball?
Going on.
Well, how come then, and how come maybe just more comfortable hitting at Kauffman Stadium? How come you look
Sees
at NBA?
Why you look at fastball?
Why you look at NBA records? Why are they so much better at home? Are they all cheating?
I don't know that that's true.
But look at their records. Every team, just about every team, is way better at home than they are on the road.
How is a fastball? How is a fastball different on the road than it is at
Kauffman
Stadium?
Maybe you see it different. You see it at Kauffman Stadium. You're used to seeing it from the same backdrop than you are at a different stadium that you see different every single day.
Who knows?
Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Who knows the pitchers he's facing?
Why are you hitting it less hard? Why are you hitting the ball less hard?
Maybe you're not seeing it as good because you're not used to it.
Just no explanation.
Yeah, thank you.
The Royals are 27-28 on the road. So they've held their own. They're 37-24 at home. That is the best home record in the American League. It's the second best home record in baseball behind the Philadelphia Phillies.
What's the Guardians' home
record
now? How
come the Guardians are 35-20 on the road or at home at 32-27?
They have a better record.
A winning record on the road? Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, but how come they're not as good on the road as they are at home, Jeff? They're 15 games above 500 at home and only 5 games above 500 on the road. Why is that?
That's pretty because
No, it doesn't make any sense to me.
The home team's playing
it doesn't
that
make
home,
sense.
They bat
they
last.
They should be the exact same.
Why
should
have
be
they
the
lost
same?
5 in a row?
Because they're terrible.
See?
See what we're dealing with?
Exactly.
A complete psycho.
Just me. It's unbelievable.
I mean, seriously, you're a nut.
So?
Score.
You don't hit.
You don't have anything to back up anything.
Just put it out there.
It's all about emotion.
It's for someone smarter than me to figure out then, I guess, why that would happen.
You know Sarah's on the show.
Okay.
We'll ask him.
Okay.
No, really, get him on next week.
I'll get him on right now.
No, you won't.
Oh,
we got to get him on right now.
Duda, tell him how I get.
Yeah, he can get him on. I'll give him that.
Here's what we have today on the show at 2:25. Baylor football preview with Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. We'll talk about the Bears at 2:45. Melvin Lister, he's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October. One of the great track athletes to come out of Kansas from Leavenworth High School, Butler Community College, the University of Arkansas, and a former Olympian. Melvin Lister will join us at 2:45. And at 3:25, we'll talk about Jeff's favorite team, the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
I thought Duda has a game. Can we replace
Tyler Waldrop
this?
From the Tulsa World. Can't, we can do his game at 3.
We got 3 guests when we have this level of entertainment. You got to book the show better. You got to understand what people really want.
Jeff, you're off.
And they
a
don't want Baylor
start.
Football.
Nobody cares about you.
That's fine.
Let Duda and me do the show.
Thank you.
It would be so good if you and I did the show today.
Why?
We wouldn't have to talk about the Guardians.
I like it. I like
you.
Talking about
we
the Guardians.
We wouldn't have to hear this whining.
I enjoy it. It makes me feel better about myself.
Uh-oh, Parker stumbled.
So, Jeff, that's what you got.
What?
You're helping Duda feel better about himself.
As he should.
I love
it. With your pathetic behavior.
I don't know if it's pathetic. It's
Why
sad.
Are you coming to his defense?
Just because. Just because
pick a side.
You don't got to pick a side.
Because he gets it. That's why.
I get it.
I don't think you do
get it.
Anyway, we got 16 Big 12 previews to do. I got to get them done.
But come on. Read the room.
16.
It's fun to talk football.
Is it?
Yes, I enjoy it.
Duda?
Either way.
God.
I'm fine.
I mean, we're in Big 12 country.
We sure are, which is now the entire country.
Basically, you are correct.
Every part of the country is Big 12 country.
I like talking to guests. We've got Duda for this segment. We'll get him into the top of the hour number 2 with a game, and we'll go from there.
Is it password?
Yep. Had to be. When we went out to the pump house, we had one of the listeners come over and said that he really enjoyed it. And so I said, next time I'm on and I have to do a game, I'll do password.
You think he's
again.
Listening?
You betcha.
What was that
listening.
Guy's name? It was Dino.
Dino.
Remember Dino?
That's right. I
Dino,
remember Dino.
If you're listening, thank you. Thank you for inspiring us, and I apologize for Jeff here.
So I said I'd do it, so I did another password.
That's exciting.
Wow.
Now I'm going to go out with my wife tonight to have some dinner and not worry about the Royals.
Where are you going tonight? Did you go to Leakers last night? What did you end up doing?
Felipe.
Last night
right?
we just
Felipe's.
Got a hamburger.
What from?
Brahms.
That's not bad.
They're
double bacon cheeseburger.
Their bacon cheeseburger is the best.
They are good. They're good.
Sure.
It's the best, and I'll say that, and I feel good about it.
We went out to Jason's, not Jason Duda's house, but Jason's Deli last night.
Well, you're stuck on your three or four places.
Not really at all, but I felt like a sandwich last night. I went and had one.
You're stuck on your three or four.
You know, they've named a sandwich after me.
Sure they did.
At Jason's.
And tonight, we're going to try Culver's. What do you think about
you
that?
You build your own sandwich. I called it the Jeffrey. Just let me do the punchline. Culver's is the same as Brahms. Why would you go to the same?
Culver's was all right. We went. Oh. Actually, I had the fish and chips. The fish and chips were good.
Well, we want to try a new place.
The burgers were fine. Nothing. I didn't think it was like, wow, I can't wait to go back to get one. But they were good. But I'd get the fish and chips again.
What's that other place on Mays Road that recently opened? That
what? Popeyes?
Right? No. Come on. I don't.
Did Popeyes just open on Mays?
Yeah.
That restaurant.
Restaurant?
That restaurant on Mays Road, right?
You know how many restaurants are on Mays Road?
Right where you live, on that side of the street.
Sickies.
Yeah. I love that.
I haven't been in there yet. My son went. He loved it. But I haven't been there yet because it's packed all the time.
We loved that.
I've heard it's good. Everybody of the 8 or 10 people I've talked to say it's really good. I've had one guy that said it was not.
Huh.
So,
well, you're always going to have that one guy.
Bad day, right?
It's not barbecue. It's a restaurant.
Yeah, burgers, and they got a bunch of stuff.
They got every
sit-down place?
Like, you think of a burger, they got it.
They got every burger you can think of.
Well, I can only think of one burger, and
any
that would
topping.
Be the burger.
Any topping you want, they got it.
Okay.
You name it.
It's really good. I got to, I had them put an egg and some bacon on. It's like a breakfast burger.
Well, you have to have egg on a burger is the best.
It was great.
There you go.
I'm not going to put egg on my burger.
What? You got it.
I just don't feel
once
it.
Once you put an egg on your burger, you'll never want a burger without
I
an egg.
I believe that, but I'm not ready for it yet.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And I believe you.
And they put hash browns.
That's too much. At that point, that's not even a burger. That's just a plate.
It's
a plate of stuff that happens to be a burger.
No, it wasn't hash browns. It was tater tots.
Same diff.
But it was really good the way they did it.
I believe you.
So you ought to try going there sometime.
Yeah, maybe. Depends on if they have gluten-free buns for some of us who have restrictions in my family.
Oh, you cracked me
Why
up.
Is that funny?
That's even, you get so defensive.
I'm asking why it's funny. That's
no,
not
you
a,
didn't ask that. You said, why is that funny?
I'm asking.
It's not funny.
Well, you're laughing.
Your reaction is funny.
What was my reaction? You laughed when I said if they have gluten-free buns. That was your reaction. What is that a reaction to?
Guys, look at this guy. He's
and he called me a psycho.
Gluten-free buns.
Why
is
the fake
it?
Laughing? I don't get it. I just don't understand what's going on over
now,
there.
That's funny. That's truly funny.
What? I don't understand.
I don't know
you're
either.
You're in a tailspin
right
now.
What is in your Quick Trip cup? You're acting unhinged.
What? Take over. He's killing
Take over
me.
For what? I don't understand why you're losing it.
I don't either. Are you okay?
He's in a free fall.
I am?
It feels
what,
to me
you
like...
Almost you're crying. You're
I know.
Laughing.
I'm,
like,
I'm,
what is going on?
I'm laughing so
All he
hard.
Said was gluten-free buns.
I know. That was it.
Look at you.
Like, say that again.
Gluten-free buns.
It's so funny.
Why?
Oh, good God.
Walk up to anybody and say, hey, you know of anywhere that's got gluten-free buns? They will break down in laughter.
You figure?
Yes. Try okay. it. We'll try it after the... there's Ted Woodward over there.
You think Ted? We'll bring Ted him might in, find it funny.
And Jeff will say, Ted,
no,
you
I'm
know
not
of anywhere that has gluten-free buns?
I'm not going to do that, in fact.
Okay, Duda will.
I don't think he will. We
yeah,
are not,
Duda,
we are not your wind-up toys to say whatever you want.
Duda will play along.
Yeah, I will.
You will?
Yeah, why wouldn't
I? Sure. You should be embarrassed.
Of what?
Just doing whatever he wants. That's sad. Ted!
Oh, my goodness.
He walked by.
So holler and get him in here. That a boy.
All right, back in a minute. We'll talk Big 12 football. We continue Big 12 previews. Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. We'll break down the Baylor Bears next.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Joined on the hotline by Zach Smith. He covers the Baylor Bears for the Waco Tribune. Hello, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's it's never a bad time to talk about football. Let me get that in off the top.
It's not, for sure. And we're looking forward to a revamped Big 12 again this year with a bunch of new teams. And Baylor's got to figure something out. They're coming off a season where they were 3-9. They lost their final five games of the 2023 season. I think their coach, Dave Aranda, I think everybody would agree that this is kind of an important season for him. Where are the Bears as we get ready to kick this thing off?
Well, I think that there's, I agree, everybody agrees that Dave Aranda is kind of on the hot seat. He kind of needs to turn the. He kind of needs to right the ship. But I think there's a lot of momentum with Baylor. Baylor played more freshmen. More freshmen had more snaps than any other team in the Big 12 last year. They had one of the worst defenses in the Big 12. So Dave Aranda, who had these great defense at Wisconsin and LSU, he's taken over play calling duties on defense. And so I think all of that. The youth coming, getting a year older, some key transfers coming in, Dave Aranda taking over the defense. I think there is an optimism, in Waco and with Baylor. And, there's just a lot of positive momentum, despite how disappointing last season was for the Bears.
That kind of answers my question, but I'll play kind of the counterpoint. You obviously know more, but, you remake the offensive coaching staff. You take a big, step in defense and have your head coach call the plays. They have a new quarterback. Is wholesale changes the right thing for this program at this time? And how could some of these results going negatively affect Dave Aranda's job status?
Well, I think we're going to know the first four games of the season. If they lose probably three of those, that's a big problem. Then we might not make it to the first bye week and Aranda might be gone. On the flip side, those first four games, one of which is at Utah, which expects to be a Big 12 title contender. If they go the right way, I think that the schedule sets up for Baylor to really either grab momentum or lose momentum quickly. So I think these first four games, that ends with a trip to Colorado and Coach Prime, their first game as a Big 12 school. It's going to tell us everything about kind of whether it's working, whether the changes are working, or whether it's not, and whether Dave Aranda is going to have a job later this year or next year.
Well, and if you were to, I know we're looking into a crystal ball, but where do you think Baylor ends up finishing in this new conference, which what seems like to be 45 teams in it? And how do you see the Big 12 shaping up this year?
Well, first for Baylor, I think I am kind of also optimistic just being around the program as much as I am and seeing all of the freshmen taking steps. I am finishing
7-5 overall. I have them going to a bowl game. Definitely not challenging for the Big 12 title, but I think they're going to make a bowl game. I think they're going to take that step, and I think Dave Aranda's job is going to be safe. As far as the Big 12 overall, I think it's really a three-horse race between Utah, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. And I really like Kansas State. I think Chris Klieman, you know, he built a program from the bottom up, and that foundation is hard to shake. You know, I think Utah, as talented as they are, there's still a lot coming into a new conference. And Oklahoma State is kind of – Mike Gundy's always unpredictable. And as good as Ollie Gordon is, Oklahoma State is always unpredictable. So I think Kansas State is the favorite, and I think for Baylor, I think they're going to make a bowl game.
We are talking Baylor Bears with their beat writer from the Waco Tribune, Zach Smith. So tell us about this new quarterback. It seems like almost everybody has a new quarterback with the transfer portal now. Daquan Finn out of previously played at Toledo, was the MAC player of the year last year. How good is he going to be, potentially?
I mean, I think he has the chance to, you know, if he hits as he did at Toledo, you know, he has the chance to push Baylor even further than my 7-win prediction. He's that good. He really shined at Toledo and really kind of proved that he could do it at the Division I level. Now, certainly the Big 12 is a step up. It's a new offense for him. It's a new offense for everybody. You know, they hired Jake Spavital, a former Texas State coach. You know, he coached Johnny Manziel and had some really good teams at West Virginia when he was the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of newness on the offense, but I think Daquan has kind of grasped that and kind of ran with it. Now, I do have to say, you know, a starting quarterback has not been named. So it's still, you know, Daquan Finn, I think, is the odds-on favorite to start, but Sawyer Robertson, he started 3 games for the Bears last year, and he kind of also got that gunslinger mentality that I know Baylor is looking to do this season. So it's not an official deal, but, you know, I would be shocked if it's not Daquan come August 31st against Tarleton State.
I've thought about this a lot, and I guess it's not necessarily specific to Baylor, but more of a general question. When you go into the portal to get a quarterback especially, do you think it's more coaches kind of going with what they know and hoping that the player adapts? Because you don't always necessarily get your first choice, or is it the player that has to adapt to the coaching and figure things out along the way?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think that the coaches really have to find a player that fits what they want to do. And Jake Spavital, the new offensive coordinator, is bringing a new offense that's 180 from what Baylor has been running for the last 2 years. And, you know, I think of all the quarterbacks that were in the portal this last year, Daquan Finn fits that probably better than anyone. He's got the ability to kind of, you know, get outside the pocket and make some plays. And he can obviously make some big-time throws with more flying, a little bit more creative than kind of the ground and pound wide zone that Baylor ran for the last 2 years. So to answer your question, I really think that when coaches go into a portal, they're looking for the best player to fit what they want to do. And, you know, on paper, at least, it seems like Baylor's hit a home run with Daquan Finn.
And, you know, talking about the portal, is Baylor using the portal more now? Is that where they're going rather than recruiting? Because it always seems like now that people just go to the portal instead of trying to recruit these younger players because you never know if you're going to get to keep them or not.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I give Dave Aranda a lot of credit. This is his first head coaching job, and he's very upfront with the mistakes that he's made and he admits when he was wrong about something, and that after the first couple of years, he won a Big 12 championship largely with Matt Rhule's guys, and he didn't use the portal. He focused on recruiting, and that first year where it was really on him to build the program, he didn't use the portal, and Baylor suffered really bad because of it. And he admitted, I was wrong. So the last couple of years, they hit the portal really hard. And, you know, I think they brought in 14 last year. I think the number is 16 or 17 this year. And, you know, that on top of a much more focused and boosted NIL that Baylor has been focusing on for the last year has really given them some momentum, not only on the field, but in recruiting, in the portal, in just really everything overall.
Final question for Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. We're talking about Baylor football. I've been around in the media here in Wichita forever. This is an intriguing Big 12 football race as I've ever seen. It's impossible to say who might win it. But with now the strength of the Big 10 and the SEC, is the Big 12 going to get any national run this year? Are people going to be talking only about these teams in the SEC and the Big Ten?
You know, that's and Commissioner Yormark, that's a great question. Commissioner Yormark at Big 12 Media Days was very aggressive with kind of the branding and kind of bringing the Big 12 along. And he, you know, whether he can actually do it or not, he wants to make the Big 12 the number one conference, obviously. And I think he's the right guy to do that. But again, to answer your question, I think the thing that's going to drive people to the Big 12 is the chaos, right? Like that is fun to watch. Like, yeah, we can watch Georgia or Ohio State and all these talented players just pound, you know, Rutgers and Vanderbilt. But when Baylor plays at Iowa State, that could be a barn burner. It could be the closest game. It could come down to a last second field. You really never know how any of these games are going to go. And I think that once we get later into the season, that is going to draw eyes to the Big 12. That is going to be the greatest thing that the Big 12 has to sell, is that parity right now. And it's just going to be so much fun to watch and so entertaining. It's what makes college football so awesome.
It's a good answer to that great question. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Hey, it's really good to have you on. You're enthusiastic. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. What are your thoughts on that? Because we see in the Big Ten now, I don't think the AP preseason rankings have come out
yet. Coaches poll has.
But it's going to be loaded with Big Ten and SEC.
Of course it will, because that's where most of the good teams are. Most of the traditionally good teams that you would think about being in the college football playoff, they're all in those two conferences.
Coaches poll, here it is. Your first Big 12 team is number 17, Kansas State. You've got, out of the SEC, you've got number one, Georgia, number four, Texas, number five, Alabama, number six, Ole Miss, number 11.
I thought Utah or somebody was ranked ahead. Or
number 11, oh yeah, Utah's 13. Number 11, Missouri, and number 12, LSU. All before you get to a Big 12 team, Utah. Utah 13, K-State 17, Oklahoma State 18, Kansas 24. So you still got four teams in the top 25.
Arizona's not
but
there.
But none in the top 12.
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona's 21.
See, you don't even, it's hard to even know, like, oh, you see Arizona and you do not think Big 12. So it's weird. It's going to take some time to get used to. But yeah, the two conferences that'll still be. And it's not just because Texas, Oklahoma, UCLA, USC. It's Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and the teams that have already been there.
The Big Ten, number two, Ohio State, number three, Oregon. Who would think of them in the Big Ten? Number eight, Michigan, number nine, Penn State. And then you go down all the way to number 23, USC, and number 25, Iowa. So anyway, I think it's going to be an interesting, fascinating college football season in many different ways. We got a 12-team playoff. We're going into a little bit of uncharted territory.
Yeah, plenty of opportunities. Go ahead, dude.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be interesting, no question about it. But like you said, it's going to take me a while just to remember who's in what conference.
Right.
And there is no pack 10, 12, 8 conference anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, I want to see those teams scheduled. Like, Washington State and Oregon State.
Well, look
yeah,
for.
Like, what are they doing? Like, what they're just are they just playing as independents?
Yes.
Pretty much. They've come to some agreement with like the
Notre Dame, another independent. Why don't they all the independents get together and make their own conference?
Maybe they should.
Well, some may as well.
They play Portland State, Texas Tech, Washington. Was a good glad they kept that game. San Jose State, Boise State, Fresno State, Hawaii, San Diego State, Utah State, New Mexico, Oregon State, Wyoming.
That's so not a horrible schedule.
No.
You could potentially get into a playoff with a great record in that.
Well, if
state.
You run the table, or yeah.
What team was that?
That was Washington State.
Here's Oregon State's schedule. Idaho State, San Diego State, Oregon, Purdue, Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, Cal, San Jose State, Air Force, Washington State, Boise State.
Strange.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to put it together.
Basically a Mountain West schedule.
Yeah.
Melvin Lister joining us on the IHOP hotline. Melvin is going in, well-deserved, to the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame, the 2024 class. That ceremony coming up on Sunday, October 13th in Topeka. Melvin, a graduate of Leavenworth, went to Butler County Community College, where he was one of the greatest athletes in the country, and then did his thing at Arkansas. Melvin, welcome. How are you?
How you doing?
We're doing well. So you were a jumper back in the day and an All-American jumper at many levels, an Olympian. How much are you enjoying watching these Olympic Games, and what kind of memories does it bring back for you?
I'll say this. For a long time, because I wasn't ready to leave the sport, I was a little bit bitter. But ever since my came to me and said that she wanted to jump, I've been enjoying it. I've been loving it. Man, it's a lot that's going on crazy with the Olympics right now. Things that we weren't expecting to happen. But, yeah, it's been fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm really getting back into enjoying it now, really.
Yeah, I was going to ask you kind of about reflecting on that experience in the Olympics because, you know, I'm sure you probably wanted to go and dominate, but there's also the fact that you were one of the 15 or 20 best jumpers in the world, and I think that's amazing. Do you think about that at all? And what were some of, you know, you said you were kind of bitter for a while. How did that kind of leave a bad taste in your mouth, just your experience in the sport?
It wasn't the sport. It was just I wasn't ready to go.
Yeah.
I hadn't accomplished the things I wanted to accomplish. I mean, I did do a lot. The sport was good to me. I wasn't ready to go. But I enjoy it. I truly love track and field. I've come to realize that was my first love. That's, you know, before any girl.
Thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
And when you say you weren't ready to go, was it just the thing that the body wasn't able to do what you wanted it to do, or was it a mental aspect, or what happened there?
Yeah, just nagging injuries that last longer and longer. You know, as we get older, we don't heal as well. You know, just things like that. You know, and you know, it was just hard. It was hard to walk away. It was hard to say, you know, I've got to go ahead and hang it up. But I think person needs to know when to go ahead and hang it up. Because I think at points you can only do damage to your name. You know, you want people to remember you for the good things. And if the last thing you did was terrible, to remember much else. Because, you know, people just tend to remember the bad things.
Talking now with Melvin Lister out of Leavenworth, a 1996 graduate, went on to attend Butler Community College, where he won 5 individual national championships across 2 seasons, 2 more national championships as a part of a distance medley relay team. So you were an all-around track athlete. What enticed you to attend Butler Community College after your high school career?
I went to Butler intending on playing football and running track. At that time, you couldn't have told me I wasn't going to be a football player, an NFL football player. The great Coach Shebess redshirted me. He gave me an ultimatum. He said, 2-a-days and missed the World Junior Olympics in Sydney, Australia as a 10-year-old, or go back to meet my World Junior Olympics, you know, and miss football. And I don't feel like that was a decision. I feel like that could have been the time I got the chance to do that. So, you know, I talked with my parents and we decided to go do that. And then I just lost love for football at that point. So I was at Butler and I loved my coaches. I mean, Fred and Coach Tornadin and Coach Neubauer got on the internet. They did everything they can to try to get me whatever they needed as far as to coach me. And it was fun. So I stayed there.
So you cut out a little earlier. Did you say it was your daughter who came to you and said she wanted to jump?
Yeah, that just lit up my world.
Tell us about that. How did that all happen, and how have you been working with her?
So my son didn't want to run track. They both had something else in mind. And, then at 10 years old, 3 years ago, my daughter came to me and said, you know, Daddy, I want a long jump. And I don't know, that just ignited something in me. And she's good. I think she's only lost twice since she's been jumping. She was the number one 13 country this year, you know, at 18 feet, 1 inch. She's easy to coach. She does what I tell her to do, and it's just working out. Maybe I wasn't supposed to win an Olympic medal because I was supposed to coach her to it. I don't know, but I'm enjoying this. I wish this on all parents to be able to help your kid in something that you love.
And before Jason asks his question, where do you live now? Where is she competing?
Oklahoma City.
Okay. Get back up to Kansas, man.
We actually competed. We came up to Leavenworth, and she won the 100, the 200, and the long jump up there this year.
Wow.
And we're up there next year. And I think we are going to look at some track meets up in the West area as well, because that's only 2.5 hours from us. So.
Yeah. I was talking about moving back, but that's fine.
I don't know. So far, Oklahoma has been good to my children.
Okay.
So, but what I will say is, I will forever be great to Kansas. Kansas was good to me. I started playing sports like that. The first thing, I'm on the front of the sports page, you know, for football. You know, Kansas is a good place to play sports for kids. They and everywhere in Kansas, they just motivate kids to play.
I'd like to go back to, obviously, was there something that happened when you qualified? How did you feel when you qualified for the first time to go to the Olympics? Do you remember exactly what happened? Was it the last possible situation where you had to get to the line first or jump first or your last jump? Can you just go back and tell us on a little bit on how that all came about and your feelings for the first time to be an Olympian?
Well, the first time I competed against guys I competed against all year in the long jump, I feel like that was really no surprise. The second time was the sweetest for me because I wasn't expected to do as well as I did in the triple jump. And I had just got like fifth or sixth place in the long jump a couple of days before. So I'm going into this triple jump. And I hadn't really triple jumped that far in a couple of years. So I get out and I get this massive 2.5 foot PR. Now that right there, I can't even explain the feeling. I jumped up and down like a kid. But just to make the Olympic team, I mean, competing against so many people that are putting their lives into this, you know, change our lives around to compete, to work out, to make sure that we're in shape for this one moment in time. So really to make anybody that makes an Olympic team, my hat's off to them because it's hard work. I mean, every year we train for championships, you know, and they're not as sweet as the Olympics, because you only get one chance every 4 years to do that.
Yeah.
So to make it twice is just, I mean, it's a dream come true type of situation. It didn't turn out like I would have liked, but I mean, I've gotta be thankful for the fact that I was able to do it twice.
Melvin Lister is our guest out of Leavenworth, Butler Community College, University of Arkansas, where he was a four-time SEC individual champion, five-time NCAA champion, just an incredible list of accomplishments. But I'm hearing, Melvin, that even above all of this might be the food truck you operate. Tell us about that.
Me and my family have a food truck. We started out doing baked goods. My wife's family are a family of bakers, and it started out wanting to do Christmas without using credit cards. Wife baked pound cakes, different flavors of, she has 28 different flavors of pound cake, and we started. Well, she started this. She started going to barbershops and hair salons and car repair places. And then after a while, I started going with her. And then we started going to festivals doing this. And then we got a food truck. And our family just operates this food truck on our spare time. Yep.
Well,
it just morphed into something we weren't expecting. So,
how about good that? Stuff. Life's full of surprises. Another reason we'd like you back in Kansas. Hey, Melvin, it's really great to talk with you. I admired your career from afar while it was going on, especially at Butler Community College. Just an incredible athletic accomplishments. Congratulations on going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. I'm sure that's an incredible honor for you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, guys, I just wanted to say, hi to my friend Harris. That's a good friend of mine, and I hope he's listening right now. What's going on, Denver?
There you go,
Denver Harris.
Denver Harris,
you know him well.
Harris, yeah.
I know Denver very well. Just saw him this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to junior college together. We were at Butler together.
I hope you were a better student. Melvin, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Melvin Lister being inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame coming up in October. Back in a minute.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.